brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here, and it's a question of the month episode. The question of the month in June 2025 was all around time capsules. What would you put in a hobby time capsule? If we had a big indestructible box and we were going to put all the stuff in it that we thought best summed up our hobby as it was, and then aliens could maybe find it in 10 million years, long after we've gone, and they would understand everything or die trying, I suppose. So we got a few good responses in. I'm going to play them for you now. And then I realised that I never really answered these questions myself. So I think I'll have a wee bash of it at the other end. But first up, let's dive in and find out what everyone else was saying.
Hi, Dave here. I'm calling in about question of the month. What would you put in a hobby time capsule? And it has occurred to me that quite a lot, a considerable amount of our hobby is basically a time capsule already. There's so much of the hobby that I'm looking at that you just think, you know, all your favorite stuff's 20 years old, 30 years old. So, like a lot of us, I'm going to be looking back at the sort of early 90s, if not before. We'll be looking at the original Space Hulk box set, Necromunda box set, everything that Jez Goodwin ever sculpted, especially including the whole second edition Eldar collection. All your Colin Dixon dwarfs, all the Kev Adams goblins. I'll put my own forest dragon and a couple of tree men, all three sculpted by Trish Carden. I'll throw in a couple of red whippy sticks because your hobby collection is not complete without a little whippy stick or two. And yeah, you know, our own hobby time capsule aside, I'd like to suggest to the aliens that are coming ahead of us that the hobby did not in fact end in 1995. We will put something a bit more modern in there. I don't have a copy of the Burrows and Badger second edition rulebook, but I'm going to chuck it in anyway because, you know, it's an imaginary time capsule. We'll throw the whole Burrows and Badgers range in there as well, just for, you know, something gloriously outside of the box. And for all the hobbying kids whose hobby lives have been tragically cut short by the end of the world, we'll toss in all the things I've sculpted for the kids, all their characters, and, you know, just by way of, you know, recognition of all the hobbying to come, you know, all this talk of the greying of the hobby and are there enough young people in the hobby? Like, I'm seeing plenty of young people getting into this, and seems to be no shortage of future in this hobby. So we'll throw in all the unwritten rule books of you know, games to come, and every unfinished project from our collections. Let's heft them all in there. All our piles of shame can just make one gigantic pile of opportunity for the young aliens of the future to pick up and run with and continue their glorious intergalactic hobbying for millennia to come. So cheers, and looking forward to hearing what everybody else has got to chuck in. Thanks for the podcast, as ever.
Hello, Matthew. It's Ed from Sussex and the Discord here. I'm just calling in with my idea for what to put in the Bedroom Battlefields time capsule. So I've had a number of ideas, and I've been thinking about this for quite a while. My first idea was we could put in models of the Space Marines from all the editions of 40K, so we could see how the Space Marine has evolved. I thought about doing the same thing with orcs, so you have a lovely selection and see how two of the core factions have evolved over time. I thought that was very lovely. I also thought we could throw in Gaslands, throw in the book, some toy cars, maybe an expansion sprue that they made for it, so that the people in the future, when they take it out, can do some hobbying of their own, making sure we've got plenty of dice and templates so people can play the extraordinarily fun game of Gaslands. One thing that I'm sure you have already suggested to be put in, but without a doubt has to go in, is a thumb drive containing the entirety of the Tabletop Hobbying podcast. There are a few other ideas as well, but I have one specific project in mind. So this would probably have its own little subsection within the time capsule. And it's a subsection known as Ed's Happy Space. And within Ed's Happy Space, we're going to put in the Codex Imperialis from 2nd edition 40K. This is the book that made me fall in love with the tabletop wargaming hobby. It contains all the lore of the early lore of 40K, and is a wonderful read. And this is going to be the basis of our world building for the people who open up this time capsule. They'll read this and they go, right, okay, this is the world that we're going to play our games in. And of course, we're going to need to put some models in there as well. So I thought we'd put in some models for each of the factions spoken about within the Codex Imperialis. So, or the ones where there were models available. So of course, we've got Space Marines, Imperial Guard. Those will be forming the core of the Imperium list, but we definitely got to throw in some Inquisition there because nobody expects the Imperial Inquisition. I reckon we can throw in some Psykers as well. So we've got some Adeptus Telepathica represented. Maybe even be able to find some proxies or create something for a few Adeptus Mechanicus models. 100% we need assassins, because you never know when you're going to have to go on an assassin mission. This is a fact of life. We all of us, I'm sure, have an assassin model close at hand at all times, just in case an assassination war game is required to be played. We're going to put in orcs. So for each of the factions, I was thinking probably 6 to 12 models, except for the orcs, because those green skin bastards are the best and we need many of them. So we're going to up that to 24 of the green skins. So we've got a good array there. We'll put in some Elder against my better judgment, but I know there are plenty of people who do like Space Elves out there, even though they're not as cool as Space Dwarfs, which is the next faction, the Squats. And we definitely need in there both the Loyalist flavored Space Dwarfs and the Chaos Space Dwarfs, because they are the superior of the two choices. But, you know, if you can't have an evil Space Dwarf, you're better off having a good Space Dwarf than a Space Elf, in my personal opinion. And finally, we also, whilst we're on chaos-tainted creatures, we need some demons, we need some Chaos Marines, we need to get a few of those in there. And finally, we need some Tyranids, both the Gene Stealer cult variety and of the full-blown Gene Stealer army. I've not mentioned what rulebook we're playing with this yet. Surprise, surprise, it's Space Weirdos. Oh, we haven't put any scenery in yet. Obviously, we're just going to put in all of Dr. Spork's scenery, get it all 3D printed. I'm sure he won't mind painting it all up for us. But I'm certain he'll agree to do it once he's heard this idea. And we're going to need all the dice, so lots of dice. Many, many polyhedral sets, preferably in different colors. Maybe some with things cast in them. Some skulls, obviously, cast in the dice. That would be good. We'll need some sticks. Probably a couple of sets of the Space Widows book, so that both people who are opening the capsule, or multiple people opening the capsule, can play the game. I think that will be almost everything. Oh no, wait a second. We need some lovely bowling green grass mat for them to play on. I think that will be everything.
Hi, Matthew. It's Mark. Very quick one from me. What would go in the time capsule? I think I would put in the contents of my recycling bin, whatever's in there, because I think that that's where the true creativity of terrain building comes from your recycling. And I worry that in the future, people will think that you have to buy everything from a manufacturer or out of a box or 3D print it. Whereas we all know that the true way to make castles and hills is from Pringles tubes and old bits of junk. Okay, looking forward to hearing everyone else's. I'll see you soon.
Hey guys, this is Sebastian, aka Bass from the Discord server. If you guys are hearing some voices in the backyard, it's my kids who's playing in the garden. We just inaugurated the summer pool and trying to cool down in the summer heat. What I would send in the time capsule would be like a basic pamphlet or a small booklet explaining the basics and the cores of a war game. Sorry. Trying to focus. Because I think someone else is going to send like a White Dwarf or a Golden Demon magazine or whatever. And probably some other rule sets as well. But I think if you can explain the basics, you got a good foundation you'll get a great foundation of understanding of the concept of wargaming. A bit boring, so probably I would include like a small set of wargaming miniatures as well. Something that would withstand time. I don't know what it would be. Maybe something in diamond. Let us go, bros. Up. Sorry, guys. I have to get back to my kids. You have a great day now. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Callum, aka Dr. Spork, here. Oh, just a sec. Oh, yeah. It's here somewhere. Ah, yes. There it is. My very brownest of noses, because what I want to put in the Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast time capsule is the Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Hobby Podcast. And if not all of it, these Question of the Month episodes. I suspect I don't need to explain why. My better half reckons most of the rest of you have the same answer. But I doubt everyone is quite as sycophantic as me. The reasons I enjoy this podcast so much is exactly why it's perfect to go into the time capsule. The variety of game systems, miniature manufacturers, personalities and opinions that are discussed and featured on this podcast is broad and interesting, ranging from luminaries of the hobby through to us mere mortals. These views and approaches have completely changed the way I indulge in a hobby and have increased my enjoyment of it no end. And if this is all too nauseatingly fawning for you, how about we just grab Rick Priestley, Andy Chambers, Jervis Johnson, John Blanche and Dan Abnett, lock them in a freezer and chuck them in. Anyway, thank you, Matthew, for the podcast and our recent game of Blaster Station. I had great fun. And I can't wait to hear why everybody else wants to bury this podcast in a deep, dark hole. And if anyone is interested, you can find me as Dr. Spork on Blue Sky or Mastodon, or for any 3D printers out there, look me up on 3D Cults or My Mini Factory. Cheers.
Hey, everybody. Axe Annex from the Bad Internet Friends podcast here, and today I'm coming to answer the question of the month, which is, what hobby stuff would I want to put in a time capsule? And I actually spent all month thinking about this because I have zero interest in time capsules or the concept because I'm a terrible hoarder. So I think instead of any of that, what I would like to do is become a barrow white. I want all my hobby stuff buried with me, entombed, if you will, and when hapless hobbyists come searching for my hoards, I would rise from the dead, brandishing paintbrushes and white palettes, and make short work of them. That to me sounds like the best scenario. But if I had to do a time capsule, I think I would probably want to put in some Oyomaru and some UV curing resin with a little UV light, because that stuff is just magic. Maybe I'd put in a pack of Sharpies that have to be sealed, I guess, against time somehow, some sort of time sealing device, and a little airbrush with an attachment to attach that Sharpie to, and a little air compressor so people can live on with the wonders of airbrushing Sharpies long into the future. And what else? Probably should put a classic plastic sprue in there. Maybe some old GW Games Workshop plastic sprue back from the days where they had multi-part kits that just fit together with legs and arms, and torsos and heads, and you can pose them as you want. Say, fellas, those were the good old days. That's when it was a joy to build miniatures. I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else's answers, and I'm going to take off. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cryovolcano, a solo scenario that could be played with any sci-fi skirmish rule set and miniatures, is now available on the Bedroom Battlefields Patreon. It was originally published in Miniature Wargames magazine, and you'll now find everything you need to play it, along with a whole host of additional bonus content, over at patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. That's patreon.com/bedroombattlefields. And now, back to the show.
Hey Matthew, Bruce here, aka Roll for Wounds on the Discord. Great question this month. What would I put in a hobby time capsule to be discovered by aliens in 10 million years? Well, first of all, I would, of course, omit any sci-fi references because I don't want to give the aliens the wrong impression. Least of all that we enjoyed playing at blowing them up. So let's stick to the fantasy era, guys. We don't want to have vengeful aliens on our tails. My pick is from 1996. It's the Warhammer Fantasy Battle Book. And to remind you, the fifth edition came out and it was split between a rule book, which was pretty much how to play the game, and a battle book, which was much more hobby oriented. It told you how to create woods. It told you how to make a gaming table, how to flock your pieces, how to paint the models. It also had a bestiary. So big showcase of all of the monsters that you could field, an overview of all the factions, a bit more about campaigns. So it's just all the sort of peripheral side parts of the hobby, that lay outside the main core rules. And I just love this book so much, chiefly because unlike some of the modern day rule books, you actually get a glimpse of what it's like to do the hobby. There's pictures of the Perry twins in their garage. There's pictures of unpainted miniatures. There's pictures of how to, there's one bit on terrain which shows a Kellogg's Sultana brand box on its side. And you cut the thing apart in order to make some hills and woods. So as a kid that picks up my Warhammer book, I want it to be relatable. And this book, I think, is a really nice bridge between the polished final product, that's your perfectly painted miniatures, and then actually leaning into the reader and saying, hey, this is how you do it. Stylistically as well, I just think this is so beautifully formatted. Everything from the heading, those bright reds of the headings, to the green diagrams, the legibility of the way the rules are set out, I find much, much easier to read. I think probably the language is a little murkier than modern day, but definitely the way that it's formatted as I'm a graphic designer by trade, and I just love this. I think this is so much more characterful. I just think this is a great time capsule edition because it showcases in one book what it would be like to love the hobby, including most importantly, pictures of actual people playing the actual game, pictures of a handwritten army list, blank army lists for you to scrawl in yourself. In fact, when I found this book, I originally had an orc army that I'd scribbled into the back, which was great. Probably was about 5 years old. But yeah, love this book. I would definitely include it. The final page on the back cover is a picture of the Perry twins in their garage with an enormous diorama of cliffs and rivers and trees, Gotrek and Felix, a veritable montage of vintage 1990s Games Workshop. So that'd be my pick, Battle Book, Warhammer Fantasy. Look forward to hearing what everyone else has to say. Thanks as always for the podcast, and we'll speak soon.
All right then, a massive thanks to everyone who submitted a response in June. I'll get to July's question in just a moment, but I figured I'd have a bash at answering this myself. So what I'm going to put in the hobby time capsule, first up I'm going to put in a pack of Citadel combat cards. They were my very, very first interaction with the hobby. I got a packet of, it was the Goblinoids, so it was like the Orc and Goblins and Snotlins and that. So the Goblinoid combat cards, I'm going to put that deck in. I think it was a holiday in Cornwall in like 1991 that I got those. So they're going in. I went on to get subsequent decks of combat cards, and I realised that if you shuffled them all together, you know, if you had like the Monsters one, the Chaos one, all the Goblinoids, they were terrible. Like you couldn't really win with them. There was like two of them who were semi-decent and the rest were terrible, but really great. Like even now, like if I look back at the pictures on those cards, it brings back so many memories for me, you know, from what was literally the origin of my hobby. So yeah, let's stick that deck of cards in, and then I'm going to stick in my very first edition of White Dwarf as well, 167 from memory. I might have got that wrong, shame on me if I did, but yeah, it was the White Dwarf where 40k second edition had just come out, so I'm going to put that in the time capsule as well. And then I'll stick my first ever game in, which was Battlemasters. Going to put Battlemasters in, a game that will need no introduction on this podcast. And it was just, yeah, to have, you know, to go from having a deck of cards with photos of miniatures to then, you know, expanding my horizons with looking in White Dwarf to then actually having a boxed game. I can't honestly remember if I had Battlemasters then my copy of White Dwarf or vice versa. I suspect Battlemasters was maybe first, but, you know, that's kind of the mists of time, I suppose. But yeah, that's the three kind of things I'm going to stick in initially anyway. So that deck of combat cards, first White Dwarf, and Battlemasters. And I'm going to make an attempt here to convince the aliens in 10 million years to resurrect the hobby as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all the episodes of the Rule of Carnage podcast, which gets into, you know, the ethos and techniques for designing games. So I'm going to take all those podcast episodes and put them on, I don't know, what would it be? A cassette? A pen drive? A CD? A mini disc? I don't know. I'll get the audio and I'll put it in there somehow. So Rule of Carnage podcast, that'll teach them how to make their own games. You know, they'll obviously have reference points from the games that we're going to put in there, the rule books, etc. But we want them to create their own stuff too. So I'm going to put that in there. Along with maybe like one of the books I really like, and I find myself returning to it now and then, is Joe McCulloch's Perilous Dark, ostensibly just a guide to playing, you know, creating and playing solo games of Frostgrave, but I think there's actually a lot more in there, even if you're not a Frostgrave player. He kind of goes through his thoughts on making solo games interesting and how it's not just about, you know, taking a warband controlled by you and then this rival warband controlled by the game's AI. You know, you have to be a bit more thoughtful about it. You're kind of playing sometimes the table itself, the sand timer, the egg timer, all that sort of thing. So I really like Perilous Dark. You know, it's a great book to go back to and read now and then, especially as I am often developing my own little solo or co-op games. So I always like to, like I say, go back and have a wee read of Perilous Dark by Joe McCulloch from time to time. So that could go in there. They're going to need to make their own miniatures. And seeing as I got a very nice shout out from Dr. Spork on this episode, I'm actually going to put him in the time capsule. I'm going to cryogenically freeze him and put him in the time capsule. I don't know if I need permission from others, you know, namely his family. And to be honest, I don't care. I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm going to stick him in there. And when he comes out the other end, you know, I'll put his 3D print and stuff. I don't know anything about it. I'll put all that in there as well. And he could set them up with miniatures and terrain and all that jazz. And yeah, good luck to you 10 million years in the future as well. I hope you've remembered your tea bags. Finally, I've stuck quite a lot in there. I am going to throw them a couple of curveballs, a VHS tape with a very short clip on it of Barry Gibb storming off the Clive Anderson show in 1997. I just want them to try and figure out what that's all about and what it has to do with the hobby. Nothing, of course. And another magazine in there. I know we've got White Dwarf, but I'm going to stick a copy of the Weatherspoons magazine as well, the magazine that you find stuck to the table of your typical Weatherspoons, and there's just a lot of insane propaganda and stuff like that in these magazines, and letters from disgruntled punters who drink alone and they've never quite come up with a system where they could go to the toilet and not come back, and you know, someone's either mindswept them or the waiter, as if they have waiters in Weatherspoons, the server, the tumbler collector has taken their glass away. So yeah, a copy of Weatherspoons. Is it Weatherspoons Monthly? I don't know. I don't really care, to be honest with you. But the Weatherspoons magazine's going in there just cause. And yeah, a VHS tape with a short clip of Bee Gees singer Barry Gibb storming off the Clive Anderson show in 1997. All right then, it's time to talk about the question of the month for July 2025. I'm going to ask a wee bit of you here. I'm going to ask you to get really creative, because I want you to think about some of your favourite films or TV shows, and then I want you to reimagine them with the tabletop miniature hobby at the core of the plot line. So, you know, if we think about Toy Story, Andy was the kid in Toy Story, wasn't he? So imagine instead of, you know, Buzz Lightyear coming into the household and upsetting all the dynamics of the existing toys, we're instead going to have Andy's unpainted miniatures. You know, they're all wanting to get some paint on themselves. And he goes and brings home a brand new army. And all these existing miniatures are really upset about that. And hilarity ensues. We also have Breaking Bad, very popular and famous TV show, where Walter White, you know, he's a chemistry teacher, and he's terminally ill, and he becomes a, you know, he cooks meth to fund his treatment. But what if Walter White was instead a terminally ill art teacher, and, you know, he had this double life, moonlighting as a commission painter to try and fund his treatment instead? So that would be Breaking Bad, reimagined with the miniature hobby at its core. So send your ideas in, you know, whether it's 28 mil later or Honey, I Shrunk the Scale. We'd love to hear your response to this question in July of 2025. You could send them in by going to bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail, and I need them in by Tuesday, the 29th of July. All right then, just a couple of wee hobby things to finish up with on this episode. I completed my Blood Bowl team. I finally painted them up. It's my Gnome Blood Bowl team, Wimble Gnome FC. So I'm happy enough with them. It was I think I'm always tabletop standard, to be honest with you. But I really, I was prepared to let certain things go when painting these. You know, the miniatures are fine. They're just not really my thing. And I don't know whether that led to me just being happy to overlook certain wee bits and pieces where I wasn't quite as tidy as I often try to be. But, you know, I see these very much as playing pieces, as the old cliche goes. But I've painted them up, and from a distance, they look totally fine. They look absolutely fine on the board. So I will stick a link in the show notes to where you can get a look for yourself and just see what you think of them. But yeah, Wimble Gnome FC are completed. and I'll hopefully be getting a game of Blood Bowl in the next couple of weeks or months. I've not actually played it yet, apart from playing a couple of turns on my own and a kind of solo sense just to get a feel for it. But I am looking forward to playing a game of it, and now that I've got a team completed, that's a good incentive to go and arrange something. So yeah, look out for the fortunes of Wimble Gnome FC, and we'll find out how they get on. So I'll be going back to my 15 mil Chaos army now. I still have a few units of them to paint up. I've got a unit of Beastmen in 15 mil. They've been primed. I've got these Shield Maidens as well. They're pretty cool, sort of Marauder type miniatures. So there's a unit of them ready to go. I've got four Chaos Knights on horseback. And at the moment, I'm just finishing off some Minotaurs. So there's four of them. They're Ral Partha. So nice to get back to that kind of aesthetic after painting stuff that Games Workshop made in like the last couple of years. So that's been cool. They won't take very long at all. And then I'm swithering whether to move on to one of the other units that I mentioned, or I've got a small warband of Burrows and Badgers. It's Hares and Rabbits. I think there's five of them. And I'm thinking of doing the old palette cleanser. I'm thinking of just painting them up. The Oathsworn stuff, it's just so easy to paint. The paint almost falls onto the miniatures. They're just so good, and everything's really well defined. I always enjoy painting those. And I think I've kind of earned it, to be quite honest with you, after not really painting those gnomes, but building them. Christ, that was just horrendous. You know, I won't get back into all that again. But yeah, I'm thinking of going back and doing those. I reckon that's what I'm going to do after I get finished up with these Minotaurs. And I am consequently in a position now where, not that I wanted to buy more stuff, or had planned to buy more stuff, but like I'm in a situation now where I'm thinking like I probably shouldn't buy any more miniatures, because I've always primed them. We've got like a small north facing garden, and it's always been a bit of a shambles. You know, it's just weeds, and like there was chips in there somewhere buried. Now it was a handy place to nip out with the spray can and just prime the miniatures, you know, because I do a Zenithal coat, so go out there and spray them black, and then later on go and put the grey can or the white can over the top of them and give them that Zenithal spray. And if I was getting some paint on the dock leaves and all that, so be it. It wasn't a big issue. But just last month there, my wife finally convinced me to do something with the garden. So I've put down AstroTurf and brand new chips and totally redid the whole garden. And I hadn't given it a thought until very recently, where I had this one miniature that I wanted to prime, and I've ended up just painting it black by hand. But I wanted to go out and do the Zenithal on it, and I thought, I actually can't do that anymore. Like, I can't go in this new AstroTurf and start priming miniatures. So I don't really know what to do about that. I guess with this guy, I'll maybe just give him a wee dry brush, I suppose, before painting him. That would be a similar effect, I guess, to the Zenithal. But I'll see. It's not a big deal. But having a big old 4 foot by 4 foot square of AstroTurf in the garden now, it is tempting just to have a massive game of Warhammer on that. So I guess I'll give a friend of the show, Jason, a call and get him to bring his all his miniatures up, and we'll set something up there. Garden Hammer. We'd need the weather, guaranteed. And in Scotland, you simply cannot do that. So yeah, we'll maybe stick to bring out your lead, and we'll be under a tent roof. Is it a roof on a tent? Probably. Anyway, if we've reached the question of whether it's a roof on a tent, we've probably reached the end of the episode. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what creative ideas you could get in for the July question of the month. Remember to rework your favourite films or TV shows with the miniature hobby at the core of their plot. Thanks again to everyone who submitted in June. I really enjoyed listening back to all your clips. And we'll chat again on the next episode.